Hey friends, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the weekly message from Transformation Church. I'm so glad you're carving out time to join us today. I believe this teaching can speak right to your heart and help you take the next steps in your Jesus-centered journey. I share a few thoughts at the end, but for now, let's jump into the message.
What? You act like you've never seen anybody like this before. Well, it's not easy on me, you know, being here like this day after day, bound up. And you're staring at me doesn't make it any easier. Look, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that it doesn't have to be like this. That it could be different. Well, I don't want it to be different. I'm restrained like this because that's what I want to do. It's what I know. I know it's insane. And you probably think that I'm insane too, don't you? Well, maybe you're a little insane too. I mean, haven't you ever been stuck? Unable to let something go? Trapped inside your own pain? Pain from the past? And everyone that hurt you? So why would I want to be free? So I can feel more hurt, more pain? No, thanks. Look, I may be confined. I may be crazy. But I'm safe. I'm protected. Not so vulnerable. It's what I know. Believe me. I've learned the hard way. I used to be free. Free to trust. Not anymore. Not after what they did. Sure, the details are different. My wife left. Dad was never around. Mom was too drunk to remember. But the stories are all the same. I need them to help me remember why I'm here. Why I can't let them forget. Why? Because they hurt me. I loved them, and they hurt me. How do you just walk away from that? Huh? Do you understand now? How can I ever trust anyone or anything again? No. I can't untie this. I won't. Not now. I know this place. It's home for me. I got pictures on the wall. I can't leave. Who will remember them for me? No. It's better for me here. You go on. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. It's better for me here. It's where I belong. It's what I know.
Well, good morning, church. And I'm glad you're here today, whether you're in the room or you're listening online and in your podcast or with us. We welcome you, and today we're continuing our message series titled Soul Restoration, which is the Body, Mind, and Spirit series, which is year-long. And we're still in the body piece of this. As we move into May, we'll get into the mind, and we'll stay there for a third of the year, and then the last third we'll get into the spirit. But we're stepping right into the heart of the gospel, the real, if you would, lasting rest in Jesus Christ. And so I just want to recap our series up to this point, because we had Easter and we had some different weeks that flew in there with us. But over the last several weeks, we explored God's design for wholeness, because we're trying to be whole, you know, just a Jesus-centered person, but be as whole as we possibly can. So we started out, we were created in God's image. And I think it's just so imperative to remember that we have God's DNA in our life, the Imago Dei, that we are created with that. We're imperfect, for sure. We're fallen people, and there's mystery in that. But at the end of the day, we have God's DNA in our blood. We trace our bloodline back. We do ancestry.com. It goes back to the Creator. It's really important to understand that and accept that. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28 reminds us of that, right? That God calls us to be stewards of our body, our mind, and our spirit. We're responsible for that. Each and every one of us have that responsibility. When we're not, we end up like that. And there's a lot of people like that, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. We also discovered and talked about our bodies serve as temples for the Holy Spirit. So we have a responsibility to try to take care of ourselves. Not easy to do, especially when you like not one Oreo cookie, but 12. You know, it's just not easy to do that consistently. It's easy to burn out on fads and diets and not get enough sleep and, you know, going from one extreme to the next and in the gym, not in the gym, this and that, and you just go through life. But at the end of the day, we still have a responsibility that this is a temple. It serves a purpose more than just eating and sleeping, that we're out there to be conduits for God's in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20 remind us of that. And that eating well honors God. You know, and so just trying to put spirituality, everything we're doing. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 reminds us of that. That when we, everything we do, when we drink, when we eat, it's time to give praise. But is this bring, if I eat this, it's a really challenging, humbling act to think about. But if I eat this, is this bringing me closer to what God would have me be or further away? It's just a different way to think about it when you're eating. Stewarding our physical lives mirrors our spiritual lives. Absolutely. Genesis chapter 1, again, 27 through 28. And the Sabbath teaches us that rest is a gift, it's not a burden. So just to chill out and rest. But rest in what? Just take a nap? I mean, just divorce yourself from the phone, from the TV or whatever? Well, that's part of it, but it's just resting in the reality of God's presence in your life. I mean, it's resting in that and just sitting with that. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 remind us of that. And that we've discovered that Jesus offers us our soul deep rest in our hearts that our hearts crave ultimately. If you get enough of that junk removed, you start to see it. So all that stuff you just see, that bondage of self that we just saw in the bumper video, it doesn't destroy what's there, but it smothers it. And the process of living a Jesus-centered life is to try to uncover that so we can find what's already there. It's not like you have to go get it. It's there. You know, as one of my mentors would say, you know, Harold, you're already okay. You know, I just want to be okay. Well, you're already okay. But you got to do some stuff to get to that space. So before we dive in, I want to reflect on that powerful skit. The imagery of being in bondage. I mean, it's a powerful skit you just witnessed. I mean, when you watch it intimately, you just really connect with it. You relate to it. Everybody here relates to that. And you might have some of that bondage in your own life. It doesn't mean your whole life's in bondage, but very compartmentalized. You know, it's like a locker room. And I'm free over here, but I'm not so much over here. And you have people in your life, your kids, grandkids, or other people you know, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, that you know there's a lot of them sitting with that. I was speaking at an event yesterday in Streator, Illinois, and when I was done, a young woman came up, and she was an addict, big time, probably 25 years old, just broken to the pieces. And I said, "How you doing?" She said, I used this morning. You know, she was just a broken human being, probably weighed 100 pounds, just ate up with addiction. But her question to me was, how do you get free from this victimization, this bondage? How do you get free from that? Because I can't get free from it. And every time I go around it, I end up using it again. I end up
burning my life to the ground a little further. I just can't shake it. I can't get past it. That's what we just watched. That's what that looks like in real life. He saw someone tied up, trapped in a straitjacket, or their version of a straitjacket, in a heavy rope. And that's what that really feels like. And these bindings weren't made of cloth or cord alone, but they represent much heavier things, I think, in our life. Resentment, victimization, pride, fear, shame, of course, guilt, ego. All those are the things that bond us to self. And ego is a powerful thing because the ego doesn't want to change. An ego will carry on a conversation with you. Hey, I think it's great you're going to church. I think it's great you're doing steps in your life. You're going to Bible study. You're really into this. But I just want to let you know something. We're not changing. You know, so you can do all that stuff, but we're not changing. You know, that's the ego talking. I'm not. You know, it's like a conversation. I'm not changing. And that's a real bondage when you get stuck in that. So the reality is simple. Unforgiveness and self-reliance wrap us tighter around our souls until we ultimately suffocate. And we can suffocate just like that and spend the rest of our life in bondage. And guess what? It's not our fault. And that victimization that he's stuck in, that we've all been stuck in, may be stuck in right now, is powerful. And if you want to experience freedom from bondage, you got to get free from that. And it's not just a prayer. This is where I think a lot of the delusion in religion and spirituality goes. It's like, well, I just pray for Jesus and Jesus just takes it away. Yes, but there's work for you to do. There's work. There's a process of that. It's all throughout the Bible. You got to confess this stuff. You got to get with somebody and get real. You know, you got to be transparent about what am I hung up on. And you may not even know because most likely it's at a subconscious level. So you don't even know why you're jacked up. You don't even know why. You just know you are. You can't put a finger on it. You can't put your thumb on it. And somebody, you know, I don't know what's up. I'm restless. I'm irritable, discontent. That's recovery language thrown around sometimes. But you don't even know where it comes from. And sometimes you might need a therapist. You might need somebody professional to help you dig that out of its hiding place and help you bring it to the surface where you can become real and you can deal with it. But you don't have to stay there, but you're going to have to take some action. It's more than just a prayer. This is where I think we get misled sometimes in religion is that we just, well, it's just pray. Jesus, take it away. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And like it's gone. And it's delusional. Because Jesus always said, what does he always say to people? Get up and follow me. Do what I do. Live your life like I'm going to live. And then we're going to deal with all your junk as we go along. So God doesn't want to, he'll meet you where you're at. That's the good news, but he's not going to want to leave you there. The world teaches push harder. Maybe you just got to work harder. Move on. That's a big one. Move on. Just move on. You know, just forget that. Move to a different zip code. Get a different relationship and just start over. You know, how many times have we done that in our life? And like all this darkness over here is done now because I've left it. Well, it's going to go right along with you. It's in the car before you ever get there. It's sitting in the front seat. Let's go. Where are we going? Going to Texas. All right, let's go. And wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are, as the old saying goes, right? Jesus says, come to me. Just come to me. And that's, are we willing to humble ourselves to that? You know, so today we're going to lift up three life living truths. Changing truths. One, Jesus invites us to rest, number one. Number two, Jesus provides soul deep renewal. And I would define soul, this is just my definition, it's your mind, it's your will, and your emotions. And Jesus calls us to walk in his rest daily. So we can get free from bondage. That's the good news. And it is truly good news because I was stricken with that. So I could sit here all day and tell you how victimization paralyzed my life. All day long. I can give you scenario after scenario after scenario. And it took forever to break free from it. When it did, it changed my life. And in our scripture, Matthew 11:28, it says, and I'm quoting, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, end quote. It's a tremendous promise, right? A tremendous promise. So I'm going to have everybody stand up, if you would, real quick. We're going to read this scripture together. This is the Gospel of Matthew. Just five verses. But this is Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving, and we're just going to read through it here. At the time Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it's pleased you do this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son. and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. The Scripture is the Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Amen. So again, Jesus doesn't wait for us to figure it out. Like, that's the good news of it. You know, but this is the delusion, I think, sometimes in spiritual walks, not just in church, but recovery circles and in other holistic approaches to mindfulness and spirituality, is that I'm going to get it all together, and I'll figure it all out, and I'll get it together a little bit, and then I'll come and hang out with you guys. You know, and it's like, I got to do this. And Jesus is like, no, you just come as you are, just right now. Yeah, but I got all that. No. You know, I got, come just as you are. He doesn't demand we untangle our mess first. Bring the mess with you. And he calls us while we're strapped in fear and guilt and shame. Just as we are. This is how he calls us. If you picture the guy in the skit again, you imagine him struggle for hours trying to free himself. You know, and the more he tries to get out of that mess, the tighter the ropes get, the tighter the bondage gets, and the harder he pulls. And freedom never comes from fighting harder, I can promise you. Freedom comes from what? Surrender. I can't get out of here. I need someone to help me get out of this. Some of us look like spiritual Houdinis, right? We're out there trying to pull the Houdini, struggling, sweating, twisting. You're never getting loose. And Jesus is standing there. You can almost imagine him standing there like, are you done yet? Are you ready? Come on, man. What do you want? You want my help or not? Just stop. Augustine of Hippo, an ancient theologian, once said, and I quote, "You have made us for yourself, our Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you," end quote. So until we find where we're supposed to be to start with, we're never going to be content. We'll be chasing our tails just like a dog, always. You don't have to fix yourself first. You just have to come, right? You just have to show up. But it's more than that. But the point is, it's more than just raising my hand. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, hit me with the water. Yes, I'll pray, and then I'll come to church next Sunday. It's more than that. You have to unclog the channel. You really do. Point number two that I want to hit on is Jesus provides soul deep renewal. And in our scripture reading, and I'll quote it again, Matthew 11:29, "Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls," end quote. Now again, I would describe the soul as your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, would you like some peace for your mind? Because it never seems to shut up. You know, your emotions all over the place. And your will sometimes rebellion. You're not willing to do the things that you need to do. And the yoke, you hear that word yoke, and that means two things together. It doesn't necessarily mean bad. It could be bad, but it can also be good, like a disciple in a partnership. We're yoked together through that partnership. But it can go the other direction as well. When Jesus says, "Take up your yoke," he offers not more chains, but a new way of living, a whole design for living. But again, it requires not just mindfulness, but it requires action. You got to do some stuff. You got to live a different way. You got to make a choice. I heard it the other day. If you make the same mistake more than once, it's not a mistake. It's a choice. You made a choice to live that way. You're making a choice to behave that way. He replaces shame with grace, guilt with peace, and undoes the knots of our resentment and our pride. Early on in my spiritual journey, trying to get untied, you know, sitting with a mentor, and I had a lot, you know, and he threw out the word resentment. You know, let's talk about the resentment in your life history. Well, I grew up in the Ozark Mountains. It's not a slam on the Ozark Mountains. I'm just saying, I did. And the word resentment was never part of our vocabulary. I never heard that word. If I did, I never remembered it. So apparently, if I don't know what the word is, I don't have any. You know, this is my mindset. I don't have any resentments. He laughed at that, of course, and he blew that out pretty easy through just open-ended questions. He said, "Well, let's try this. What if we take the word resentment and replace it with the word conflict? Have you ever had any conflict in your life?" I'm like, "Man, I've had conflict my whole life." He goes, "That's what we're talking about." Let's get down into the weeds with that. And so we got down into the weeds with it. And the way he explained it to me was powerful. He says, you know, here's the power of resentments or conflict in your life, but this call them resentments. He goes, just imagine a 4x8 piece of plyboard. It's like taking a 4x8 piece of plyboard and we go out and we lay it out in the grass and we leave it there for a couple weeks. And then a couple weeks later, we go back and get lifted up. What color is it? What's going on underneath it? Well, the grass is now all nasty, yellowish, brownish. And if we lay it back down, what happens if we leave it there for two or three more weeks? Well, it's dead. Everything underneath it's dead. He says, so just picture your soul, your mind, your will, if you need a circle or visual or whatever, that this is your soul. Just picture your soul is plastered with 4x8 pieces of plyboard. And it's been that way for your whole life. So the Spirit of God, the sunlight of the Spirit, if you would, shining on your life, can't even penetrate your soul because it's blocked off. And this commitment to follow Jesus is to what? Remove the plyboard. But I can't do that on my own because I don't even know where all the plyboard is. Most of it's at a subconscious level. It's been there for decades. So we need somebody, a mentor, somebody who's done this journey themselves, who's walked through this practice themselves, or we need a professional who can actually help us uncover, discover, and discard this junk in our life. And it's painful, yes. It's not fun to look at, but it's what sets you free. But trying to bypass that step and just say a prayer and come to church on Sunday, you're going to be sitting here feeling like, well, I must be disqualified. I must not really be Christian enough. Or I must not be doing, God must be punishing me for something because you're not connected. Well, you're blocked off. If there's a bridge between you and God and there's something blocking the bridge, you're not getting across the bridge, friends. It's that simple. And I couldn't get across the bridge for the darnest time until I uncovered, discovered, and discarded what was blocking it. And when I did, it changed my life. And it would have changed that guy's life. But and why are the resentments so hard to get rid of? Because we create them. A lot of it we create. We water them, we nurture them, we fertilize them, we put Miracle-Gro on them. We put a lot of energy and time. I mean, if I got a resentment, just think about it. If you got a good resentment, you're taking showers with that person. You're riding to work with that person. You're sleeping with that person. They're like, hey, wake up, man. Let's think about what I did to you or what you think of me, you know, and they're just with you. And if you got a bunch of resentments, now you got a bunch of noise going on. And this is what that girl had yesterday. She wasn't talking about one person. She's my family. And the way they treat me, and the way they talk to me, and every time I'm around them, I can't stand it, and I end up using almost immediately. That's the power of that stuff. How do you get past all that? Well, those are fair questions, but you're going to need help. But it's more than a prayer than coming to church on Sunday. I'm just telling you. But if there's a will, there's a way, as Mama Long used to say. You need help. And in this congregation, if you need that help, or if you need somebody to talk to you, you want to sit down and unpack something, we got lots of people to do that, myself included. But if you need professional help, and sometimes you do, and that's not a slam, that's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. If you need somebody else to help you uncover, discover, discard what's blocking you off, then go get it. You want to make sure that they're spiritually centered, I would say, and they're going to give you a scientific solution, but it could be part science, but it's going to be heavy in the spirituality side. You need that in your life, right? So the ancient, you know, an illustration of that's in ancient farming, a strong ox is sometimes yoked with a younger ox or a weaker ox, right? And the older ox, the stronger ox, carries almost the entire burden of that weight. But the younger one, simply all he has to do is walk alongside him. Well, that's what it means to be a newcomer with Jesus. You walk with other disciples, other people that have been doing it longer than you. They're stronger in everything they do. They're more confident, but you walk with them shoulder to shoulder, and it's a game changer. John Piper, famous Presbyterian theologian in Minnesota, said, and I quote, God is more glorified in us when we are more satisfied in him, end quote. So again, you hear me say this a lot, but it's the truth. If you really want to know where you're at spiritually, what are you doing when nobody else is looking? I mean, it's just the greatest inventory of what your life's about, what you're really about as a person of faith, someone who claims to believe, follow Jesus. What are you doing when nobody else is looking? And is it just total self-reliance? For some of you, it probably is. It's just total self-reliance, or it's 95-5. Maybe once in a while I'll say a prayer, but for the most part, I'm just living on self-propulsion. Why? And that's, you have to get to that. What's blocking you from that? Is it lack of faith, lack of belief, questions, doubts? What is it? But if it's, but it's the greatest measure of what you're doing when you're not alone. And Jesus says, man, go meet God in private. That's where you're glorified, when you're in private. It's easy to come to church on Sunday and pray and sing worship songs. But what are you doing when nobody else is looking? Really important. Jesus never promised an absence of work. So this is really getting into the action piece of this. He promised an absence of soul-crushing weight. So if you do the work, you're going to get the relief. You don't do the work, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. You're going to stay bonded, you're going to stay in pain, and you're going to suffocate eventually. But he offers a fresh way, you know, to get out behind all that exhausts us. And the last point is Jesus calls us to walk in his rest daily. And that last scripture I'll lift up is Matthew 11, verse 30, and I quote, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," end quote. So rest in Jesus is not a Sunday nap, which I like to take. That's about the only day of the week I get a little bit of a nap, is a Sunday afternoon. Sometimes I fall asleep. But it's a daily rhythm of surrender. And some people ask me, well, how do you have balance in your life? I don't even like the word balance, because everything's contextual here. I can just grab this group of people right here and look at your life. We're going different ways. We're all busy, but we're going different directions. So to say balance, what does that even mean? But to have rhythm, you hear the band. What happens when somebody's not in rhythm? It's like you get the evil eye, right, Mike?
Yeah.
The evil eye. It's like, come on, dude, let's pick it up. Let's get that tempo going. 1, 2, 3, let's stick with it. But rhythm, is there a healthy rhythm to my walk? And I think that's to the surrender of my life. Am I staying humble? Am I staying self-sacrificial? Am I other-centered? Am I really trying to love everybody, even the scammers? Right? Am I trying to love those people too? Not easy to do, but that's what it looks like. Elite athletes have strict training regimens. All of them do. And one sacred rule, rest is important as the workout, right? You're going to work hard, but you're going to have to rest. And without it, strength decays. You know that. You're all old enough to know that you get wore out. Nothing, you can't continue to go without rest. So without spiritual rest, your soul will collapse under pressure. So where does that rest come? In privacy, I think a lot of it. It's just where are you sitting with the Lord? What are you reading? What are you confessing? What are you really doing? Really important. Some of you need to add a new spiritual discipline to your planner. It's a nap with Jesus. So that's a new calendar entry you can add this week. I just made your calendar more full. A nap with Jesus, right? Marva Don quote, and I say, Sabbath is not about what is done or left undone. It's about the joy of simply being. You know, so happiness is very circumstantial. If the Blues win today, I'm going to be happy. If they don't, I'm not. You know, but joy, regardless if they win or lose, I still have joy in my life, right? So the joy is just predicated, it's a disposition. It's not circumstantial. Big difference. So rest is not weakness, it's wisdom, right? We need wisdom just to take it easy and rest in Jesus. You can work from a place of peace instead of striving from a place of emptiness or a place of bondage, which we've seen that guy. So in summary, the skit you saw earlier captured the insanity of trying to live a life bound up, right, in our sins and our struggles. And it's easy because of pride and fear to live that way. Man, if I come clean about what I'm hanging on to or what's causing me pain, what's the rock in my shoe, what's the splinter in my foot, if I come clean on that, you know, people are going to think you're weak, you're small. They're not going to love you anymore. They're not going to respect you anymore. Your integrity is going to go down. They're going to move away from you, and they're not going to call you. They're not going to invite you to dinner, whatever. That's what fear says. Pride says, man, how long have you been coming to church? How long have you been reading the Bible? Suck it up. Figure it out. Do it. And so you get sandwiched in that. You don't do either thing. You just go through life tomorrow. Man, I hope tomorrow feels better than it was today. I hope the sermon speaks to me. You know, I hope I get fed, you know, and all these things. And it's important for that. You get some goose flesh, spiritual goose flesh for a moment, but it's fleeting because you're still unblocked. You're still blocked. So you might get a little superficial bump, spiritual bump, but you're going to come back down to earth pretty quick, and you're going to be sitting there feeling like, I'm disqualified. It's me. That's where that shame turns inward, and there's something inherently wrong with me. And when you really, that gets into your soul, discouragement sets in, and you don't do anything. That's the power of that. It really is the power of that. So the gospel is simple. Jesus is not tightening the ropes. He just breaks them, friends. He cuts you loose, you know, if you live this way of life. And Jesus invites us to rest. He provides deep soul renewal, and he calls us to walk lighter daily, but in rhythm and surrender. So what are you carrying today? That's the question we want to take out of here. All of us got something. What is it? What are you carrying today? Old wounds? Deep regrets? Or fear you can't just shake it? Like this lady that was with me yesterday, and she had all three of those, I can promise you. She had the old wounds, she had deep regrets, and she had the fear that it's always going to be this way, it's never going to change. And it owns the title to her soul, to her mind, her will, and her emotions. It owns the title. And guess what? We're the ones that hand it over. We freely sign it over. Here you go. Here's the title to my soul. And so that person that we have all this rage about or resentment about, most of them don't even know we have it. They're just going about their day doing whatever, but we're just ate up with this stuff. So we have to unpack it. So we're invited to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And don't leave today still wearing your spiritual straitjacket, right? Don't leave here that way. Freedom is here. Rest is here. Jesus is here. Not just a little Jesus, but a whole lot of Jesus. Amen to that. All right, so let's invite the band back up. We're going to sing. And you can sing with some passion and some praise for Jesus that gives us rest. I'm going to pray when they come up here, and we're going to close out in a mighty way. And we're going to have great rhythm. Right, John?
That's right.
Because it's all about the bass. It's all about the bass. The bass. But let's give it up for the family. We got the Haley up here rocking it on. We're going to have to come up with a name. You know, I don't know. We're going to have a name for the family band. Haley's Comet. Well, there you go. All right. Let's pray. Jesus, our deliverer and friend, thank you for coming to untie the knots we can never loosen. You see every rope of fear, shame, pride, and pain, and you break their power. Teach us to stop wrestling and start resting. Help us to live lighter and love deeper because of your freedom. Anchor us in your gentle heart. Let your easy yoke and light burden become our daily joy. We surrender again today, fully, completely, beautifully to you, in your matchless name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's message from Transformation Church. I hope today's teachings encouraged you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. At Transformation Church, we're a Jesus-centered community for people who aren't in the church. Whoever you are, whatever your past, you are truly welcome here. We're not concerned with your politics, your pronouns, or if you're in recovery. We want you to come as you are with all your hurts, habits, hang-ups, doubts, questions, and reservations. Our focus is simple. To become the one thing Jesus prayed we would become, one. We follow a Jesus-looking God and live Jesus-centered lives, seeking unity through love and grace. We gather every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in House Springs, Missouri, right at the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains. But church isn't just on Sundays. We meet throughout the week in house churches where genuine relationships form and transformation happens in community. We're also hearing from people all over the country who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching. If that's happening in your corner of the world, we'd love to know. To stay connected, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or download our app. Just search for the Church app in your app store. Download it. It's church-tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. And then enter Transformation Church, the app will pre-fill. Inside that app, you'll find our messages, devotions, announcements, sermon notes, discussion questions, the Bible itself, prayer requests, everything you need to grow and stay connected. If you'd like to support the ministry financially, visit us on the web at www.transformer4life.org. So transformer4life.org, or you can click the Give tab in our app. Every gift, no matter the size, helps us keep sharing the best news ever and helps us grow the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks again for being a part of this extended church family. I'm so glad we're in this together, shoulder to shoulder, as a Jesus-centered community, helping people rediscover life and experience true transformation.